Thank you. There is a light.
Oh, that's me, not that.
Okay. I'm so happy to be here with you all again on your 20th anniversary here. I get to celebrate with you all, as well as the eclipse. So, yeah, we just pulled a whole lot of things in this weekend, didn't we? So that is wonderful. Let me set my timer. I got to tell you, let me tell you what I've done since I last saw you. I actually spoke at 2 Baptist churches. And I know. And they clapped and said, when can you come back? I said, I might pass out. You have to take me out of here. I'll try anything once. I said, I'm just going to go see what happens. You know, I'll keep my keys near, so I got to run out of here. But it went well. It went well. So I'm saying that to say we're going to talk about the oneness. And I'm not going to use all these papers I have here today. They were like, when is she planning to leave? These are just notes. So today we're celebrating tomorrow we'll be celebrating the eclipse. And so I'm going to tie a whole lot of things into this. I think I told you all the first time I came, before I graduated from UWSI, Dr. Woodruff used to say, when we stand up and do our talks, he'd say, Mathis, there's too much in that talk. Well, it's going to be too much in this one, too. That part never changed. All right, so I, in the reading that Leah so graciously put up, I talked about the solar and the lunar eclipse. The main thing I want to talk about is an eclipse is an obscuring of the light from one celestial body by the passage of another between it and the observer, or between it and its source. So there's a blockage between either the observer or its source. Now, remember last time I talked about Einstein and his theory? Remember we talked about science and religion should be together and we need to keep them together? Right. So Einstein said that the speed of space and time is not absolute, but based on the speed and position of the observer. Who's the observer? We're the observer. So once again, even in our definition of the eclipse, we talk about a blockage between the observer and its source, and we know that we are the observer. So what happens, and I heard them practicing this morning, well, not practicing, they were playing Total Eclipse of the Heart by Bunny Tyler from her 1983 album, I think I looked it up, Faster Than the Speed of Night. But they were playing, that was so beautiful, but we talk about the heart. She said the song was about total eclipse of the heart. And so we learned in the 12 powers of unity that the heart is where we have our understanding. The mind is for information gathering, but the heart is for understanding. So when that blockage comes and we don't understand that the source is still there, like tomorrow, I hope none of you will don't look up unless you have those shades on, but I hope nobody will for a moment look up or even don't look up and say, the sun is gone. They took the sun away. Because remember at the crucifixion, that is what they said. They said they took the Lord away. But there is no separation. Even when the appearance, when you can't see what you think you should be able to see, there's never a separation. But in that moment, it can appear to be real. So when they talk about these interfering messages, think about the things that we allow to come into our thinking, these little busybody thinking, monkey mind, these things, and they create the idea and the illusion that, well, we're separate. I don't have what I need. So since I didn't get to come here and do my resurrection talks. So I'm going to work some of that in here too. Somebody got to hear this stuff. All right. So I've recently been studying the Baha'i faith. I love studying all the religions, which actually is a subset, or it's a break off from Shiite Muslim, which I did not know. And if you know anything about, if you study your religion, Shiite Muslim is still under the Abrahamic faith. So there's much more similarity now Hindu and Buddhism do get into something different, but even those tenets come back to the idea of oneness. So the Baha'is teach that the vertical is your relationship to God and the horizontal is your relationship with man. Isn't that interesting? The vertical and then the horizontal. So as you deepen your relationship with God, it expands your relationship with humanity. You're not supposed to, and I grew up Baptist, and you're not supposed to, but you have people that can know all the scriptures, and they're at the food bank, and they're cleaning up the tables, and then they won't even say good morning. They walk by you so fast, the wind from them will knock you over. You're like, but she does so much. Yeah, she's doing a whole lot right now, too. All right. So the vertical is our divinity, and then the horizontal is our humanity. Now, unity deals with that a little different, but I like where Charles Fillmore went with it. He said the vertical is your divinity, and the horizontal is the human limitation. Right, and that's where they have to cross each other out. So as opposed to the vertical and the horizontal, though, Charles Fillmore gives it the perpendicular, which I thought was interesting. Once again, I know last time I talked about circles, and I saw some of y'all twitching. Don't twitch. Don't twitch. There's no grading here today. But the think about it. Vertical is just up and down. But vertical brings in right angles in relation. So where's the vertical in relation to the horizontal? And then Charles Fillmore talks about, it's about having those right angles. Not the 90 degree, but what do we need to create the balance and the harmony? And going back to the idea of the Baha'i, where is it that is my vertical out of alignment with my horizontal? Have I moved into idol? Because if it is out of alignment, now you've moved into idol worship. And I know in the Baptist church, you know, it was like, oh, you can't be an idol worship. But most of us were. We were worshiping either a car or a house or a job or shoes. I've seen people worship shoes. Pray for me. I need help with that one myself. Yeah. but we all, so Charles Fillmore brought in the idea of staying in alignment through those right angles, not just having your vertical and your horizontal. What is it that needs rebalancing? And oftentimes, we don't know and we don't stay in touch of what needs rebalancing in my life so that I'm not moving. So as the observer, so that my speed and time are not absolute. Einstein goes on to say that things that are still in the future of a slow-moving individual may have already occurred in a faster-moving person. In mind. So we look at people and go, because in New Thought, we're real big on manifesting. How did they create that? How did they do that? Well, we can go back to the idea of their perpendicular. They're keeping things in balance. They're moving things in the right way in relation to them, as opposed to those of us who come in. Remember, we talked about circles, and I talked about a tangent was a line that touched two points on the circle, and then it just kept moving. It doesn't come into the circle. And we talked about how St. Augustine said, God is the center of a circle that's everywhere, whose circumference is nowhere. But coming into the circle is what gives you the trajectory to have the circumference of nowhere. All right. So then in this teaching, we're always talking about how to bring things out of the invisible into the visible. The Bible speaks a lot about that. I know we like to talk about Hebrews 1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's the first one. But Hebrews 11:3 says, everything you see comes from something you can't see. So that's powerful for our teaching. That means everything begins with a thought. Everything begins with the idea that we hold in mind. Do I have anybody in here that's a soap maker? Anybody ever made soap? Even if it was just on YouTube, that's what I tell people. I watch 10 videos. I'm a soap maker now, all right? So, but on you in soap making, there's a term called trace. And what trace is when the oil and the lye are no longer at risk of separating. And so think about the idea of the reality we're holding from the illusion and the truth that we know. We got to keep moving those together until they're no longer at risk of separating. And that's how we bring the invisible into the visible. But traces in soap, when you're making soap, traces, it goes from this really liquid type batter and you keep stirring until you start seeing a form. And that's the way it is. When you bring the invisible into the visible, you start seeing a form. You start seeing the substance of the things that you're hoping for. But you have to stay focused. You have to stay in line with what it is you want to create. And that's what's important. So when we talk about that being separate, there's a term in quantum physics, but there's two terms in quantum physics. One's called downward causation, meaning something comes from a heavenly or celestial body on high, or an idea, and then it comes down on us. Like gravity would come down. That's a law. You're not getting past that one. Okay, that's a law. But then you have upward causation, where you can, through your ideas and through your trace and through you bringing things from the invisible into the visible, you actually start affecting things on a higher level. And that is what we teach. That's what we teach. You do that through prayer and meditation. Even the Baha'is talk about that. There are four main people in the Baha'i faith, the Bab, Baha'u'llah, Abdu'l-Baha, and Shoghi Effendi. And there are just thousands of writings about bringing the invisible into the visible and how to do these things through prayer and meditation. They're real big on prayer and meditation. So I'm going to tell you a story about how we block things out. And we decide that God's no longer there, your source, whatever it is no longer there. I had the pleasure of taking a class before I graduated from Holmes under Dr. Marty Rossman. And Dr. Rossman he is a medical doctor, and he would treat and take in patients that the medical people no longer really knew what to do with. So it was this one gentleman that came to him, and he was a prominent man in the community. He had four beautiful daughters. He had a prominent business. I think he was an elected official, and so he was doing very well, and he saw himself in a certain way. Well, he developed diabetes. And so he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, this is an intelligent man. I'll tell him what he needs to do. So he says, well, I need you to exercise every day. I need you to cut back on processed sugars. I need you to do your glucose testing, your A1C, all that, and then next month we'll be good. So the guy goes away. He comes back the next month. The doctor tests his blood sugar. It's worse. And so the doctor said, well, I must not explain that very well. He said, let me try again. So he says, do all these things. So he goes back and he comes back again and the blood sugar is even higher. And so now the doctor's concerned. And so he said, I'm going to try one more time. And so he explains it to him again and he comes back again and it's higher. He said, listen, it's evident you're not hearing what I'm saying. What is the problem? he said, I don't have time for this. This has nothing to do with the life I want. I don't accept this. I don't want anything to do with it. I need it to go away. And so, of course, the doctor was like, well, this is above my pay grade. I need to bring in some bigger guns for this one. And so he sends him to Dr. Rossman. And so he goes in to see Dr. Rossman, and Dr. Rossman said, well, what's the problem? And he says, I don't have time for this. I'm a very important man. I don't have time for this diabetes. It needs to go away, you know. Okay, and so Dr. Rossman said, well, let's give it an image. He said, well, how would you image it? He said, it's a ball and chain. He said, okay, all right, it's a ball and chain. He said, then talk to the ball and chain. And so the guy was like, I am a professional businessman. I do not talk to imagine ball and chains. And he says, well, you're here, so you got to do something. He said, fine, I'll talk to the ball and chain. So he said, tell the ball and chain what you want. I don't need you. I don't want you. I need you to find somewhere else to go. You know, I need you to move away. And so Dr. Rossman just keeps sitting there with him. What is it saying? He says, it's not saying anything. He said, well, keep talking to him. He said, keep telling him how you feel. So he kept telling him how he feel. And all of a sudden he says, oh my goodness. And so Dr. Rossman said, What happened? He said, the ball is crying. He said, the ball and chain is crying. Yes, it's crying. Well, ask it what's crying about. You know, he said, why are you crying, ball and chain? Well, the ball and chain turned into a little puppy. It was a little puppy dog, beautiful little jet black puppy dog. And he says, now it's a puppy. And Dr. Rossman said, well, talk to the puppy. You can talk to a puppy. What's wrong, puppy? He says, I need help. I tried to handle this on my own without you, but I can't. And we're not going to make it if you don't help me. And so then the gentleman starts crying. And so he said, Dr. Rossman says, ask the puppy what he needs. He said, what do you need, puppy? He's like, he did not want to be bothered with this. He says, I need to walk twice a day. And I need less sugar. I need more water. I need less liquor. And I need to go to bed on time. And so the guy's telling Dr. Rossman all this, and Dr. Rossman said, well, the puppy's telling you what he needs. Can you do it? I guess. I don't want the puppy to keep crying like that. I'll go ahead and do it. And so he did it. He would in his mind, he was walking that puppy. Remember, this puppy's not real. But he walked that puppy twice a day, and he gave that puppy less liquor and less sugar. And his blood sugar came down, his A1C worked, and so there was an integration of himself. But see what happens when we block ourselves from our source? Because a lot of times we want to think somebody else blocked us from something. And I'm not saying that doesn't happen. But a lot of times we're the first blocker. And then we attract other things based on, what are we saying, unity? Thoughts held in mind produce after their own kind. Whatever energy you're circulating and keeping yourself full of, that is what's coming. That is what's coming. So we talked about the evidence of things that not seen. Now, what's going to happen is, and I'm going to tell you another story. One of the things we do in unity is we're so busy when we get into a situation, some people jump right into, now, how did I create this? You know, like, okay, first let's get out of it, you know. And so I remember one time my father came to me, and my father used to like to just come up to you and tell you these little stories. And you didn't know they were coming, so you were just like, okay, you know. So one day he comes up to me and he says, let me give you some advice. I said, okay. He said, if you ever find yourself in the middle of a lake and your car is sinking, Hope, why am I in the middle of a lake in a sinking car? What's wrong? What did I do? He said, you're missing the point. I said, no, I think it's really important why that car is out in the middle of a lake. You know, I think we need to, what's the backstory on that one, you know? And so he was like, it's not important. The car is in the middle of the lake and it's sinking. Now, this is back when the windows used to do this. He said, just let it go all the way to the bottom, and when the pressure equalizes, roll down the windows, let it equalize, and then you just float up. Just float up to the top, swim up. And I remember he said, only take with you what you can carry comfortably. When you're in the middle of something, a lot of times it's an invitation to walk away from things. He said, only take what you can carry. State Farm and get the rest. You know? He said, well, that's what we pay for, you know? He said, swim up to the top, call who you got to call to get the help you need, and then come on home and we'll fix it. We got to remember that when we get in trouble, we don't have to analyze everything, but you can go back home. Home is within. Remember the story of the prodigal son? When he came to himself, he came home. There are no blockages. There's nothing obscuring you from your source. To go back to source, to renew, restore, get everything that you need. And so my father was right. I was caught up in so many details, I couldn't figure out the truth of who I was and how to begin to renew and restore myself. Because I wanted the backstory. What does it matter? When you got to swim your way out of there. You got time once you get on shore to figure all those things out. So now let's talk about Galatians for a minute. The fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the things that we can go through the other ones, but y'all, we all know that. If you ever watched any soap opera, you know all the things of the flesh, sexual immortality, purity, Young and the Restless, General Hospital, they all took care of those. We don't have to go over that. We don't have to go over that. But fruits of the Spirit, Philippians 4:17 says, not that I seek the fruit, but the gifts. Excuse me, not that I seek the gift. Not that I seek the gift, but the fruits that abound to your account. Once you have these fruits, love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, there's nothing you can't create. There's nothing you can't bring out of your invisible into your visible. Anything's for you. There are no beings blocking your passage. And through upward causation, you build the truth of who and whose you are and what you want. So I'm going to end with, there's a poet laureate. She was the first African-American poet laureate named Gwendolyn Brooks. And she wrote a poem back in 1991 called Speech to the Youth. And she starts it off because, you know, when you stand in this and you tell people, this is who I am and this is who I'm going to be, their first thought is going to be, well, who do you think you are? You know, I think I shared with you all the story when I was here last time with my mother and how she wanted to get off that farm so bad. She said, I hated chickens. I didn't even want to eat another chicken. I hated chickens so much. And so people came to her and said, who are you? Who are you to say you're not? We were all born here and died here. Who are you to want more? Who are you to want better? So anyway, Gwendolyn Brooks says, say to them, and she says, say to them, the down keepers the sun slappers, the self-soilers, the harmony hushers. Even if you're not ready for day, it cannot always be night. And unity, we translate that, even if you're not ready for this idea of this understanding, we're not always going to exist in this ignorance, because there's always a passage. Just like that, the sun and the moon are always moving. There's an idea that's always coming forth. Just because something is prevalent and relevant today, this too shall pass. So you can choose to stay in this misunderstanding, this misthinking, this error thinking. But when the time comes, when this moves into a greater understanding, you're either going to move with it, or we're going to keep you back there, send you away, all right? And that's what's part of what's happening with the church. Not this church, all churches. It's time. We've done this. We've done it one way for so long. We got to move past our resistance of a new way of doing. There's a new day coming. There's a new understanding. And we're either going to get on board with it and move with it, or we're going to be shown an exit. And I think we all want to be a part of that. You will be right, for that is the hard home run. Live not for the battles won. Live not for the end of the song. How many of us done that? I can't wait till this is over. When this is over, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. Not understanding that so much learning and teaching comes from being in that moment of discomfort. Live not in the end of the song. Live for the along. Live for the alone. Live in the question. Live in the I don't know, but I'm open. Ernest Holmes says, Eric Butterworth says, stay open at the top. And that forgiveness, the closed mind is the unforgivable sin. The closed mind is the unforgivable sin. And Ernest Holmes says we need more backbone and less wishbone. I've seen people do the most, me too, done glorious vision boards every January. And every year, I go back and look at my board, it's the same board every year. I was like, I should just take a picture of it and say, I'm done. I did it last year, you know. But to actually have different different vision boards each year, that's a part of moving past that obscuring vision. You can't be blocked from the source of your illumination. You are one with it. And so don't ever say, where did they take my Lord? They can't take your Lord anywhere, because you are one with that. So with that, I'm going to close. Thank you so much. Happy 20th anniversary and happy eclipse. Thank you. Thank you. Well, if nothing else, I give you something good to look at and laugh at, okay? All right. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. And just know that that seat that was made, whatever it was made for you at this moment, right here, right now. And as you focus on your breath, breathing in the breath of God, and releasing all that's no longer needed or wanted, in your Christ experience. Breathing in and out. Grateful for all the good that has gone forth from you, through you, by you, as you collectively have come together today to celebrate a wonderful occasion, the 20th anniversary of being in this beautiful space that you call unity, that we call Unity of Wimberley. We give thanks for another 20 years as you hold the sacredness of this place for others, for yourself first, and then for others to come. Since we know this is a safe and sacred place, we know that this is a place to release ideas that no longer serve who and whose we are, and to bring in the newness, the grandness, the wonder-filledness of what is to come. So knowing that every breath we take in is a taking in of newness and releasing of what not only not serves us, but you as a group and as a community and as a city, a state, a region, a nation, a world. There are no small players because we all get to play. And you get to play right here, right now, from this space. So continuing to take in that breath, knowing that every time you breathe in and release, there's a greater you. We're new beings in Christ, and we give thanks for that. Nothing that has gone before defines who we are. And as Michael reminded us, the awareness, our awareness. Where is our awareness as the observer of our life? Continuing that deep breathing and having the daring, the courage to know that you can be different from what you've known before. And it doesn't have to be in a big way. We don't have to change the world in a way that people know we did it. But we can change in the world in a way that's substantive and sacred. And maybe someone will never, ever know our name, but they'll feel us. And they'll feel what we brought, even if they never know us personally. So as we begin to close out this part of the program, knowing that this is not an ending, it's just the end of this part. Knowing that you will have ahas and revelations and epiphanies that will come later today, tomorrow, next week, next month, next year. And you'll fear not, but know what is yours to do. Let's take one final breath. Resting in that knowing of who and whose we are. Through the Christ consciousness, we say amen, amen, and so it is.